Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Suede at the network. We are live across America and around the world at CRNTalk.com. Here's today's lineup in just a moment. Kevin Stockton, director of Shadow Stateland, also writer, film producer, former investor, banker, going to find out what kind of effect will Biden's clean energy transition have on the ESG industry. Then Judd Garrett is here, former NFL player, his latest, Color of Crisis. And in the second hour, the world-famous Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, will be talking about a world without the West. Well, what kind of effect will President Biden's clean energy transition have on the ESG industry? The creator of the new Epic Times documentary, The Shadow State, has that answer. There's no secret that President Joe Biden has been working on programs to promote cleaner energy in the United States, including a shift to wind, solar, and EVs. In fact, he recently launched a new program in which clean energy makers could attain a part of a $10 billion tax credit. But the real question is this. What effect will Biden's clean energy plan have on the economy as a whole? America's already going through a bit of crunchy right now with significant inflation, mortgages becoming incredibly unaffordable, gas rates skyrocketing, actually, dropping unpredictably, not to mention food costs, particularly with finer goods such as eggs. Well, this can also have ties with the ESG industry, or environmental, social, and governance. It is a market in which a multi-trillion-dollar power structure operates with partnerships between private corporations and governments. Some see it as a way to move forward towards social justice and climate improvement. However, others wonder about its growing effect on the economy as well. So, what could Biden's plans mean for the ESG industry as well as the economy as a whole? Well, joining us right now to talk further about this is Kevin Stockton, who directed The Shadow State, a new documentary now available on viewing on Epic TV. He previously worked on the 2008 documentary, We All Fall Down, The American Mortgage Crisis. And he also contributes regularly to Epic Times. So, once again, his expertise welcome, and welcome, Kevin. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Chuck. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. President Biden's clean energy program looks like a sure bet for members of his administration and other politicians in Washington. But as a whole, how effective do you believe it'll be?
You know, the first thing that I want to say is this concept of transition to clean energy is an absolute myth. What we're really talking about is transitioning from a fuel-based energy industry, which is fossil fuels, to a mineral-based. And all of the materials that we need for solar panels, for wind turbines, for EV batteries, those are all minerals that have to be mined. And they are mined at a tremendous cost, at a tremendous environmental cost in places like Africa and China. They have to be dug up. I'm just going to throw out a quick example. To make one EV battery for a car, one car, they have to move about 250 tons of earth to get to the lithium and cobalt and everything else that they need for that. Then they have to transport about 50 tons of material to China, where it gets refined and processed, all with coal-based energy, to eventually be assembled in the U.S. So this process is far from clean, and it's a myth that that is even used to describe it. But the effects that we're going to see are, in fact, more of what we've already seen. Energy is going to become much more expensive, and as far as electricity, much less reliable.
Whoops. Check that out there, Suede. I think we might have lost Kevin all of a sudden. Maybe they started digging holes right there where he was. 200 pounds of dirt have to be removed. to start getting on the battery there. We'll see if
can
we
can. Can you hear me now, Chuck?
Yeah, there you are. Hey, I think somebody started digging hose in your studio there. Lucky they didn't get the 200 feet.
So 250 tons of earth to produce one EV battery. But long story short, energy is going to become much more expensive as we do this transition. It's going to become much less reliable, and we're going to become much more dependent on foreign countries.
So where do you... Wow, there it is again. If you're there, where do you see the economy going with Biden's clean energy plan? Will it cost continue to increase like the gasoline and certain food items? Is he there, Swade?
I'm hearing you. Okay, I'm not sure what's going on with the phone lines.
I think they're trying to censor you. You know,
that could be.
Yeah. So where do you see the economy going with the clean energy plan that Biden has?
Yeah, you know, so two things that they're doing at the same time. One is they are pouring all this money and subsidies into supporting this transition and this industry. But they are also blocking mining in the United States at the very same time. So, you know, the idea that we need to produce these cars in the U.S. is something that the Biden administration is pushing. But they, you know, just closed, they blocked the mining, the copper mine up in Alaska, and they've been blocking mines all throughout the U.S. So we've seen the price of lithium, which is essential to making these batteries for cars, increase 500% in the last year. And it's probably only going to go up from there. If you talk to anybody in the mining industry, they will tell you there is no way that we can get access to these minerals to meet the demand that we think we're going to create through this transition. So it is an absolutely unworkable policy from an economic perspective. And what we're going to see is a tremendous increase in prices, not only for renewables, but also for fossil fuels, because at the same time we're working to shut down production and refining in that space.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Kevin. You know, some critics believe that the ESG industry poses a danger when it comes to the world's economy. With inflation going the way it is, and clean energy possibly bumping up costs, do you see anything they could see as an improvement, or could they see things getting worse?
You know, what people don't really understand about this transition is fossil fuels are not just what you put in your car. It's everything from manufacturing to transportation, but it's also food. So, you know, the farming industry is heavily reliant on diesel, but also fertilizer. That is a derivative of natural gas, as are plastics, as are building materials. So it goes to the entire economy for us to think that we can replace any of that with a wind turbine or a solar panel is just ridiculous. So, you know, it's going to have a ripple effect through the entire economy. It's going to be inflationary. And what that means for us is shortages of things that we once had in abundance and a decline in our living standards.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned natural gas. I was raised in the Permian Basin area out in Texas, New Mexico, and, you know, once Biden got in, it kind of just closed it down. It was puffing along pretty good there. You have mentioned the EV part of Biden's clean energy plan, wondering if they're actually good for the environment or potentially a swindle. What's your opinion on that?
So when you create an electric vehicle, it comes with what's called a carbon debt. And I talked about some of the mining that went into creating the batteries and everything else. But what this, there have been studies on this, even done by the World Economic Forum, which is a big advocate of this transition. And this carbon debt means that you spend so much more, it takes so much more carbon emissions and energy to create an electric vehicle versus an internal combustion engine car that you would have to drive that between about 6 and 8 years to actually make up for all the emissions, the extra emissions that went into creating that vehicle. So they are not clean. And then it depends on also what energy you have to use while you're running the car. So If you're charging it in Norway, which relies on hydro, you know, that's going to be a fairly clean vehicle. But if you're charging it in most countries, including the U.S. or Germany, or even worse, China and India, your emissions are going to be much higher because a lot of that electricity is going to be made with coal and fossil fuels anyway. So if you want to buy an electric vehicle because you like to plug it in your garage and drive it, you know, 15 miles to work or whatever, that's a wonderful thing. But if you want to buy one because you think you're being environmentally clean, that's an absolute myth. There may not be emissions coming out of the tailpipe as you're driving it, but there are tremendous carbon emissions that come from making that vehicle.
You know, and I got to tell you, Kevin, I don't think the average American realizes what you have just said, you know, and all the truth about this so-called clean energy and how efficient it is and how safe it is. And true, you know, you just plug it in your, you know, garage, recharge the battery. Of course, that's coming from somewhere, isn't it? And boy, I guess most people, let me ask you this real quick. What percentage of Americans do you think are absolutely numb about all of this stuff that's going on and what's behind the scenes? Any idea?
You know, I was just reported on a recent poll where they asked people who would like their companies to follow ESG, who would like their companies to be politicized or just to make things and provide services. And 80%, both Democrats and Republicans, said we don't want our companies to be politicized. We just want them to focus on what they're doing. You know, none of this was put to a vote. I don't recall laws that forced me to buy an iPhone or that banned, you know, landline phones. It was just a superior product that people wanted. With EVs, we're now seeing bans on internal combustion engines, and we're seeing all sorts of incentives to go out and buy this product. And I think the proof is in the pudding. If consumers had their choice, they would not be going in this direction.
Yeah. I think we got to follow the money trail somehow or the other. Tell us more about The Shadow State. That's the new documentary that you directed for Epic TV, and how it's relevant viewing with everything that's going on right now in these days.
Yeah, well, it's a look under the hood of the ESG industry, how it works, how it's funded, and how it's been able to arm twist most of the corporations around the world into going along with this progressive agenda. One of the other areas that we look at, and the reason that we called it The Shadow State, is it looks at this new partnership between government and corporations to push this agenda, how they're feeding off each other, how they're supporting each other, but also the risks that come from this. So to the extent that corporations have to some extent become kind of executioners for the government, doing what the government is legally prevented from doing. The most glaring example is the Twitter scandal, where we're seeing collusion between the Department of Justice and the FBI and Twitter and other social media companies to censor political speech in the U.S. Government can't do that. It can get corporations to do it on its behalf.
Yeah. So where can people view The Shadow State? We understand there's also a DVD, right, that's coming. Has it already been released or it's coming soon?
Yes, I think it has just been released, and you can go to theshadowstate.com. The film is also free to any Epoch Times subscribers, and they can watch it free at theepochtimes.com.
All right, epochtimes.com or theshadowstate.com. Are you getting ready to start producing another one right now? You got it in your head there saying, hey, our things are getting worse, so it's time to start writing again?
Yeah, we have a couple of ideas that we're kicking around, but I've been a lot of my time right now is taken up writing on this topic and other subjects.
And going on radio shows and spreading the word and, you know, and it does, there's a lot of confusion, you know, you learn every day, you know, sometimes you have to look on the other side of the door and get the true story of what's going on. And that's why I'm glad when you show up here, Kevin, and I appreciate it very much. Kevin Stockton, and once again, remember, it's theshadowstate.com, okay? Epic TV also. Thank you, sir. We'll do it again.
For having me on.
All right. Judd Garrett is coming up, and he's going to talk about the color of crisis. Yes, be right back.
Think of the many sacrifices it took to establish and to preserve liberty in the United States. Think of the many generations that went before us, that spilled blood to preserve that liberty, our freedoms. And look at how long it took, not very long, for us to lose many of those liberties. One flu season, together with lockdowns galore, and so many of those liberties just slipping away. In the United States today, we see an American government that is weakening abroad, even as it oppresses its people at home. We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here. Hear me going, Judd. Yep, there it is. Got in there. You know why? Because I always get excited on Fridays when I get Judd Garrett. Judd Garrett, what a career he's had. Former NFL player, coach, executive, frequent contributor to the website Real Clear Politics. Recently published his first novel, No Wind. And remember, I always tell you, objectivity is the objective.com. You can read all his great postings. And Judd, welcome back, sir. How are you? I think we do have birds on the telephone wires today, or the Are they, whatever
it is. Can you hear me?
X-ray. Are you there, Judd?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. I just don't understand. We had a problem there with my first guest, too, there. So maybe the kittens are playing with the wires outside the studio. Who knows? Hey, I got to tell you
it's all Pete Buttigieg's fault.
Yeah. I got to tell you first off, boy, the one before the one we're going to discuss, the climate delusion. Boy, you got to check that out, listeners, okay, at objectivityistheadjective.com. But we're going to get into the color of crisis. If we have time, we might touch on that climate delusion. The color of crisis. You didn't realize there was a color, right? Judd says starting in March 2020, our government spent 2 years locking down the country, forcing us, you know, to wear masks, et cetera, et cetera. If you didn't know what was going on, it must mean you just moved here from Russia or something, you know. Closing business, canceling schools, locking down churches. And it was all done, right, Judd, in the name of public safety. We'll take care of you. Remember the words you never want to hear? We're from the government and we're here to help? Yeah.
Absolutely right. Yeah, and they said they're doing all that. They said, if this saves even one life, then doing all that is worth it. That was what they told
one
us
life.
As they were taking all of our freedom away from us.
Boy, would that be Mrs. Fucci?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, you know, you look at it, you know, and the other thing I talked about in my last article is you know, look at what we're doing to our energy sector because of so-called climate change. We're so scared of carbon dioxide that we're upending our entire energy sector just to supposedly save some lives from climate change.
You know what, and I'll tell you, listener, what Judd's talking about. You know, the very, very first day that this guy got into office, you know, Joe, yeah, what did he do? He shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. See, he had to show you, you know, how bad these fossil fuels were. And forget the fact that, you know, it sent the gas prices straight up. But, you know, oh, those were dangerous, man. Those were dangerous. I personally, Judd, I think it had something to do with a guy who probably was carrying all that oil that was going to go through those pipelines on trains, and he was making all the money on it, or even transporting it by trucks. You know, I think he was following the money trail, Mr. Biden was, and that's why he closed it down. That's just my opinion.
And that's the funny part of it, because they tell you that these pipelines are susceptible to spills and environmental contamination, but
not trains.
Didn't Pete Buttigieg tell us that 1,000 trains derail every year? So if we're putting oil on trains, they're going to derail, and you're going to get oil all over the place as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Follow the oil trail. Yeah. That might be a good title. You might. I'm going to be looking for that one. Okay. Yeah. You know, but you say, our government, after authorizing the intentional burning of millions of gallons of deadly chemicals that had spilled in that train derailment right outside of Palestine, Ohio, which created a mushroom cloud with deadly toxins. You know, listeners, I don't know if you have to be a certain age, but when you see a mushroom cloud, okay, you should think twice, you know, because all you have to do is go back to World War II, and that's when they were created, basically.
Yeah, and so they create this mushroom cloud, and they're they're sending toxins in the air, the same type of toxins that the Germans used in chemical warfare in World War II. And then 3 days later, the government, which did everything they could to protect every American citizen all through COVID and all through, you know, this climate, you know, supposed crisis, they tell them to go back to their homes only 3 days, 72 hours later, after spewing all these toxins in the air. It does not add up at all.
No, it doesn't. And maybe we're not as stupid as a lot of us look. Okay. Judd Garrett, objectivityistheobjective.com. We'll be back with more. The Color of Crisis, objectivityistheobjective.com.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
Hugh Jackman plays a high-powered businessman who's thrilled with his new baby and new wife, played by Vanessa Kirby, when his first spouse, Laura Dern, asks him to take in their emotionally scarred teenage son in the searing and unforgettable The Son, now playing in theaters.
What's going on?
I don't know what's happening to me.
You came to tell me what a good dad you are? What do you want? Applause?
It's my little boy. I can't give up on him.
Based on a stage play by director co-writer Florian Zeller, this is part of a trilogy that includes The Father, which won an Oscar for Anthony Hopkins, who makes a brief appearance here. In this film, all of the acting is award-worthy. All the characters, despite their conflicts, are richly and sympathetically portrayed in a superb film that captures both the rewards and heartbreak of family life. It's rated PG-13, 4 stars for The Son, one of the best films of 2023 so far.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Colombo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Colombo's family Italian recipes? Colombo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, Magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Colombo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Colombo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Colombo's, mangia bene.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Judd Garrett, and he is the author of No Wind, discussing the color of crisis, you know. And I think about the seasons, you know, and I'm always telling people, Judd, in California, you know, we have like four seasons. You know, most people have autumn, spring, you know. Anyway, we have, let's see, the fire, right? Fire season, the rain season, the earthquake season. And then we have a season called when you have Democratic governors, all right? So we have four seasons there, yeah. And this is, I mean, sometimes you say, how stupid do you think we are? But then again, there's this controlled by the government, and it really came out in COVID, showing you how much they could rule your lives. I've never seen it in my lifetime, you know, this much. Of course, I was a little baby, you know, during World War II or whatever, but still, you know, never saw it, never have seen it to this extent.
The leftists, you know, the far left in our country have gained such a strong foothold in our country that they're willing to take dramatic steps of controlling the people like we saw in COVID. I mean, that's where we are in this country. That's how much we've shifted to the left and towards that totalitarian style of government.
You know, and you mentioned also how much control they took over George Floyd's death. You know, now George Floyd, you know, was not a priest, okay, by any means. He was a drug dealer, I guess, or an addict or whatever, you know. But here you say, you know, it started all these riots. What was it, 500 riots that were incited because of his death? And then all of this.
Yeah, I mean.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what the Democrats do usually is when there's a crisis, whether it's George Floyd's death, whether it's COVID, whether it's climate change, whatever it is, all they do is they try to exploit these crises to get more power for themselves. With George Floyd, they wanted those 500 riots in our country because our country became very chaotic during that time. And when the country is destabilized, the incumbent, who is Donald Trump, is less likely to win re-election.
And remember the Democrats' favorite saying, never let a crisis go to waste. And boy, they take advantage of it. And you got to give them credit. They know how to manipulate people on any crisis you have. And they're doing the same thing right now, you know, with the fires in East Palestine. Ohio.
It's interesting, you know, because I referenced that later in the piece about never let a crisis go to waste. And it seems strange to me that the Democrats, Joe Biden, didn't try to exploit the crisis in Palestine. You know, I didn't write this in my piece, but I've thought about it since. You know, why didn't they go to Palestine, Ohio, a battleground state that they're going to need to win in 2024, and who voted 70% for Trump? If they came in on the first day and did all the right things for those people, maybe they would have flipped a bunch of those voters to become Biden voters in 2024, but they chose not to do it. And I was thinking maybe Biden already knows that the fix is in. Maybe he already knows that, you know, the 2024 election is going to be rigged just as much as the 2020 election. So he's not even doing anything to try to procure more votes for himself in 2024.
Yeah. You know, I was getting some news earlier this morning, and Joy Behar, you know, on The View.
That's The View.
She gave this crazy reason for why the train disaster happened in East Palestine, and insinuated that the inhabitants of East Palestine were receiving appropriate consequences, or at least the ones they had selected in light of the catastrophic train derailment. She was saying, let me see if I can find the thing here. She claimed that since former President Donald Trump advocated for the deregulation a vast array of industries and gave the residents of East Palestine voted overwhelmingly for Trump. They were simply experiencing the natural outcomes of their own actions. Boy, you know, when you take 35 words and you spin them around like she does, you're saying, what? What did she say? Because they were Republicans? That's why they had the train derailment?
Yeah, and everything that she said, trying to blame Trump for the derailment was the NTSB stood up and said nothing Trump did had anything to do with the train derailment. So that was Pete Buttigieg trying to blame Trump, and Joy Behar just took it and ran with it. But either way, she's completely off base, because no one deserves to have their town poisoned the way the people of Palestine has, and regardless of who you vote for.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is amazing. You know, Trump, you would think he must have had so many powers built into him. You know, the way these Democrats talk. There was that other guy. Remember the one that used to wear a long robe and he walked across Earth and did all these great things? What was his name? Jesus? Oh, yeah, that was it. Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you. Let's get into this attorney, Michael, is it Barrasch? B-R-A-A-S-H?
Yeah, Barrasch, yeah.
Barrasch, yeah, law firm. And he talks about the 9/11, the members of 9/11. About air safe and stuff like that. And this is in your article, too. Tell the listener about this one.
Yeah, he said, you know, he represents over 25,000 members of the 9/11 community who have been affected negatively because they're part of the cleanup crew at the World Trade Centers and all the toxic air that they breathe in. And he said the EPA insisting that the air is safe and shivers up his spine. Because he said, you know, every day some of his clients are dying from the 9/11 toxic dust, and he believes that in 10 or 20 years, you're going to see people from Palestine getting cancer because of the toxins in their environment. So, you know, the EPA said the same thing, that it's safe to go and spend all this time cleaning up, you know, the World Trade Centers, and yet people dying every day still over 20 years later from the effects of that. And for the EPA to say, oh, it's safe to go back to your homes 3 days after they set toxic chemicals on fire right over their town, it's completely ridiculous, and people are going to die because of it.
Yeah, and then Pete Buttigieg, you know, bringing him back in here, telling the crowds about how white construction workers are taking jobs from people of color. I wonder if he was counting how many white people were working, you know, and cleaning up East Palestine. You know, this guy,
exactly. I mean,
boy, something about him, I'll tell you. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, he's completely disconnected from his job. At the same time, the people of Palestine is begging for help from the Transportation Department, from FEMA. They need help from this crisis. He's given speeches, as you said, about white construction workers taking jobs from people of color. But, you know, as I say, it's not his fault, because he wasn't hired to be the transportation secretary. He was hired to be the first cabinet secretary. His qualifications and his competence, you know, didn't matter when he was hired. He just checked all the right boxes.
In other words, he was hired to be the cabinet secretary, and the main qualification was that he was gay, right?
Yeah, because Joe Biden made that big announcement, you know, when he named all of his cabinet secretaries, that we're going to have the most diverse cabinet in the history of the United States. He didn't say we're going to have the most competent. He didn't say we're going to have the cabinet secretaries that do the best thing for the American people. He said the most diverse, and having a gay Secretary of Transportation means that you have the most diverse in the history of the country.
Now, I may be wrong, but didn't he's married, right? And didn't his husband have a baby? Or was he doing the husband, or was he the woman?
He took off
32 weeks, you know, so that they could take care of the husband who had the baby, which actually I think was adopted.
Yeah, the baby was adopted. He took off, almost half a year of paternity leave while we were having a supply chain crisis. And he was just sitting there at home doing nothing while our supply chain was falling apart. And that's his part of his job.
Well, now I hear them say that men can have babies. You know, they've come out with that so far. But not in Buttigieg's case. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he did ride the bicycle to the hospital. No, wait a minute. That's right. They took the bicycle two blocks away from the hospital. Okay, I got it now. And then he got on it. Boy, you know, when I saw all those tapes where he does that, where, you know, they transport his bicycle to about three blocks away from the event he's going to, and then he gets out of the SUV, they take the bike off, he gets on the bike and he rides in, and they look at that transportation secretary, boy, he knows how to transport himself. Woo! Oh, and he's not even sweating. How does he do it? I don't know. Boy.
That's what they're all about. They're all about image. They're all about, you know, what it looks like. There's no substance to them. It's all about image, and that's the perfect example.
Yeah, I saw a perfect cartoon today. I'm going to have to send it to you. I think I can bring it up here real quick here. Yeah, it's called A Tale of Two Presidents, okay? And it's Branco, B-R-A-N-C-O. He does all these great political deals. But anyway, A Tale of Two Presidents, and they have Biden on the left with a wheelbarrow that's full of millions and millions and millions of dollars and an arrow pointing towards the Ukraine. And then they have the other guy going the other way, and it's Donald Trump, and he's carrying a little bitty tiny suitcase that says America First, and he's headed for the smoke going to East Palestine, Ohio. You know what? And sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. I just made that up, by the way. I bet that's really clever. But you know what? It's amazing, though. You can take a cartoon or a political drawing, and it really hits it right on the head. And that's one of them. Here Biden is with his wheelbarrow full of money going to the Ukraine. And Trump, who got there one day ahead of Buttigieg, you know, with a little, like a first aid kit, America First, you know. Wow. I'll send it to you, though.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, is that Donald Trump puts America first and Joe Biden puts America last. And so all the people who criticize the whole MAGA movement, all that is about is putting America first, taking care of the people in our country first before we start helping out the rest of the world.
And then, you know, once again, I guess it's Buttigieg, here we are, you know, electric cars, and he goes, highways are racist. You know, I'm telling you, the guy is nutso, but, some people could say, well, Chuck, he's making more money than you are. Oh, yeah, okay.
But he was an equity hire, as we talked about before. He checked the right boxes. It's about what gender you are, what LGBTQ status you have, what color you are. It's all about equity with a guy like him. So every issue he's going to frame based on equity. So instead of saying, you know, we need to fix this rail, this road over here, or this bridge, or the railroads, he's going to say highways are racist, because he only sees the whole equity and the racism or sexism or homophobia. He doesn't see any of the legitimate problems in our country.
And, you know, I don't care who the president is. Well, see, I have to preface that because I do care who the president is. But anyway, it doesn't matter which person is the president. When you have a disaster, it's almost automatic that they throw money at that disaster area. And they've done it, and they should do it. You know, you can go for all, you know, the tornadoes and everything else, you know. But anyway, in your article, you talk about Joe Biden not even visiting Palestine, Ohio. And also, I guess, did they turn down giving them any money? Yeah, here it is. The Biden administration rejected federal disaster assistance for Palestine as they deal with the aftermath of the toxic disaster. But yet, here goes $100 billion again over to the Ukraine, you know. And I'm telling you, the guy's going to create World War III. I mean, I had some guests on yesterday. China's already said, yeah, you know, I think we're going to have to just step in here and take care of Russia. It's getting very serious. But Biden, yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
He's completely compromised by Ukraine. Mm-hmm. His son was over there, you know, working or on the board of directors of a corrupt energy company that he was making millions of dollars off of.
Right.
And, you know, Biden uses influence to protect the corrupt energy company. He's completely compromised. So that's why when Zelensky snaps his finger and says, give us this, Biden dutifully does it, because Zelensky knows all the corruption that Joe Biden's been involved in.
Right.
And if Joe Biden turns him down, he's going to reveal all that corruption to the world. So,
and they were investigating his son, all right, and he went in and threatened him and said, okay, you're not getting any more money from Obama if you investigate my son. Boy, and they dropped that real quick, and then he goes on a TV show and brags about it. And then he denies it during a presidential debate. But he got away with it. Judd Garrett's going to be back and wrap things up. This might be one of those days you should have been on for an hour, Judd. Judd said, oh, no. Chuck, please, no, don't say that. Anyway, Judd Garrett, remember the website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com. We shall return.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7 works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping, plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to balance7.com and don't forget the code word FRED.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN. Always a pleasure to have Judd Garrett. Former NFL player, coach, executive, novelist. No Win, by the way. That's his book available at Amazon. It is a book of fiction. It has nothing to do with this show. Okay, No Win? Yes. So throw that in there. Anyway, you know, in the other thing that I was talking about earlier about...
Everybody's talking at me.
Buenos dias. Whoops. Wrong button there. Thank you. CRN, Digital Talk Radio. Chuck Wilder here. Swayed at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Hey, when next we meet, Michael Cutler, Frank Savato. But right now, yes, it is time. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. And Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. He appears on television and is a frequent guest on radio. His website is www.selwynduke.com. And a lot of people tune in, you know, every Friday when I have him, when I get him, if he's not, you know, filming movies or TV or whatever. And they just do it because they always want to hear the hit song Duke, Duke, Duke. And I know we were having problems with it last week, and then I got all tied up today, and I didn't have a chance to find out. You know what? Okay, here comes the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, 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 Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl.
Oh, yes. Don't you feel much better there, Selwyn Duke, with that wonderful intro there? And got so tied up, I didn't have time to ask if it was working this week. But see, just for you, they did it, yeah. They put extra batteries
Absolutely.
In or something. I don't, something they did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How are you? How
like
are you?
Like you said,
yeah,
Chuck, not bad. People tune in for that song. We know
they
that,
do.
Chuck. And by the way, I have to say, Chuck, I hope that in the spirit of today's appearance, you're all ready and you're sitting there in a dress behind the microphone.
In a dress. Would that is that autogenophilia?
That is it. That is it. Absolutely.
How much gasoline does that auto use, though? See, that's that's the only way I can even get rolling on that long word. That is a long word. A-U-T-O-G-Y-N-E-P-H-I-L-I-A. Can I buy a W?
You don't need a W. Why? Now you need a W. All right. The perversion.
Okay, now, Chuck.
Yeah.
Now, Chuck, spell anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Hang on 1 second, all right.
That's supposed to be the longest word in the English language.
You think so?
Well, that's what I heard. That's what I heard.
I think the longest word is Joe Biden is going to run again next year for president of the United States, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay. Well, you said that as one word, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something the Democrats can do about it.
Get into this perversion, and then you wrote an interesting article. In fact, I think it was by request, right? A World Without the West.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it's not just a small, you know, little report here, listeners. It's quite a detailed here about a world without a West, without the West. And we're going to get to that right after we talk about this perversion. We always like to get into the juicy stuff, and then we get into the bad news. How about that?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, you start out here increasingly. Americans are learning that there's no valid science behind so-called transgenderism. Now, how many of you didn't know that? Hold your hand up unless you're driving. Okay. Yep, the majority has it.
Yes, Chuck. You know, you and I have discussed that a lot. There's no valid science behind it. I call it the MUS, the made-up sexual status agenda, in my effort to control the language. But
which is very
really
clever,
transgenderism.
By the way. Very clever. I got
to
tell
you.
Must. Absolutely.
I wish it would catch on.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, it's not a scientific designation, transgenderism. It's a political one. Now, also, more and more people are catching on to the fact that so-called, what they used to call gender identity disorder, does not actually have a biological basis, like the sexual devolutionaries would claim. So it doesn't require a biological fix. In other words, genital mutilation surgery, that it really is a psychological disorder. That's what it is. More and more people, I think, are accepting that now because some of us are managing to cut through the propaganda. But nonetheless, Chuck, Americans still generally believe that people who have these MUS, made-up sexual statuses, and the agenda is driven by people with gender identity disorder and their enablers. They figure, well, that's behind it. Otherwise, it just might have to do with men who are seeking to advantage themselves by masquerading as women. And there, of course, we're talking about men who are destined to be in the pokey and they'd rather be in a women's prison because it's going to be much easier, so they claim they're female. But in fairness, that motivation is really not all that common, except among people who are going to be prison inmates. But there's another motivation behind the MUS agenda, Chuck, one that most people don't know about, and that when I first started writing about this topic, I didn't know about, and it's called autogynephilia. Now, what does that mean? Because most people haven't heard the term, thank God. Anyway, basically, according to the National Library of Medicine, it's, quote, defined as a male's propensity to be sexually aroused by the thought of himself as a female.
Wow.
Okay. Now,
well, let me stop
the idea,
real quick.
Yeah.
Have you ever even come close to thinking that you would like to be a female? I mean, seriously? Maybe
no,
you wondered
no,
what it
I
would be
not.
Like, but have you ever thought, man, if only I could become a female? Or if you're a female, could you ever become a male? That would be a different word, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess that would be. I don't know what the word for that is.
It
but
would be car.
No, this is something.
Carnophilia. Yeah. Philibia. Car, not auto.
Okay.
Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I work at
so,
this stuff,
anyway.
You know. Yes, go ahead.
Anyway, the idea that this abnormal interest could animate the MUS agenda actually is not some new revelation. I mean, the National Library of Medicine talked about this in 2011. They wrote that autogynephilia, quote, is theorized to underlie transvestism and some forms of male-to-female transsexualism, which is exactly what we're talking about, okay? But what brings this to light now is something very interesting, okay? And it is this. A bunch of Instagram posts by Will Thomas, also known as Leah Thomas, okay? Now, Thomas, just to remind the audience, is that male athlete who made waves, pun intended, that male swimmer, by claiming to be female and then competing on the University of Pennsylvania women's swim team. And then what happened was he started winning some women's titles. He was dominating in certain instances, and his female competition cried foul, okay? But Thomas, well, Chuck, he was just claiming that he was being true to himself. That's all, just being true to myself. This is the authentic me. Except now we learn this, okay? According to Jake Crane, who is a podcaster, he posted a Twitter thread from an Instagram account that reportedly belongs to Thomas. And what did it show? Well, it showed that the swimmer apparently liked a number of messages pertaining to autogynephilia. Now, I didn't post the thread in my article because some of it was improper, but it really is something to see, Chuck. Anyway, it attracted the attention of this woman who's billed as a sex neuroscientist. Her name is Dr. Deborah So, and she wrote an article about the autogynephilia-mus connection. And she points out that we can't really know if Thomas suffers from autogynephilia, and fair enough, we can't know. But what we do know for sure is that this phenomenon absolutely in part drives the mus agenda. And So explains that, quote, autogynephilia can involve cross-dressing, eroticizing female bodily functions, and partaking in activities that women usually do. Activities that women usually do. Now, why is that significant, Chuck? Well, the reason why is that when we see these men entering women's sports, a lot of people will say, I read this on the internet in comment threads, they'll say, well, these men just want easier competition because they can't hack it with the guys. Now, in all fairness, that's not really ever the motivation, okay? But what could be the motivation, there could be another ulterior motive, and that could be that some of these men actually get a kick out of doing things that women do, and one of those things is playing in women's sports, okay? That absolutely is plausible.
And I got to tell you right now that I always thought the number one thing was that they were going to finally win the race, you know? I always thought that was their number one objective. Win that race, you know, swimming race.
Yeah.
But apparently not.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say so. I'd say it's either this motivation or it's just that they actually do have gender identity disorder, mainly. But, you know, it's interesting. What tips the MUS activist's hand here, this is something Dr. So points out, is that they really doth protest too much. In fact, a lot of these MUS activists and their allies will claim that autogynephilia doesn't even exist. As So put it, they claim it's a hateful myth based on outdated medical research. And then she writes, others will claim that women also experience autogynephilia, so it is just a typical part of womanhood. But then she writes, women, however, do not get turned on by getting dressed in the morning or, say, menstruating, lactating, or speaking with a female voice. Okay, now, So also points out, Chuck, that in fairness, many men who are saddled with autogynephilia do feel guilt and shame and confusion, and most of them suffer in silence, and that's no doubt true, and they don't masquerade as female full time. But nonetheless, she writes, there, quote, exists an overlap between autogynephilia and narcissistic and antisocial personality disorders, okay? And she said this helps explain, quote, the most aggressive individuals with AGP who demand that MUS men, quote, be considered indistinguishable from women and who are overriding social boundaries and requiring policy to facilitate this, okay? Absolutely true. I mean, these activists are not normal people. These are people who have some serious issues, and they want to impose them on everyone else, and they've been succeeding greatly because the wider society has been capitulating to them. Now, here's the thing, though, Chuck. This prurient interest-driven activism harms kids, okay? It harms the least among us, and not just because it distorts social boundaries. It's also because what they're doing is they're becoming people who testify that we should have, quote, gender transition, which really is sexual distortion treatment. That's what I call it, sexual distortion treatment for kids. And here I quote Dr. Paul McHugh, and he was the former chief of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And he said when he and his colleagues years ago would study these MUS individuals, okay, they would find that they didn't have gender identity disorder, many of them, but in fact, autogynephilia. They wanted to display themselves in sexy ways, okay? And the truth is that they would describe themselves as lesbians trapped in a male body. That's what McHugh said, okay? But what's really destructive is that these men, like I said before, Chuck, are also part of the must pool of witnesses, okay, who justify using gender identity disorder as a pretext for childhood opposite sex transitioning, okay? So this really is hurting kids. I know we're coming up on a break here.
Yeah, I get about a minute. 1 minute.
Okay, yeah. McHugh cites Bruce Jenner, former Olympian Bruce Jenner, as a likely autogynephiliac, but then he writes, most young boys and girls who come seeking sex reassignment are utterly different from Jenner. They have no erotic interest driving their quest. Rather, they come with psychosocial issues, conflicts over the prospects, expectations, and roles that they sense are attached to their given sex. And they presume that sex reassignment will ease or resolve them. And, of course, it won't. And by the way, I wrote two or three articles this week in which I mentioned this, Chuck. Most of these kids who come to these so-called gender clinics are saddled with serious psychological issues, and instead of getting the help they need, these adults prey on them and tell them that these must procedures will solve their problems when they won't.
All right. And maybe a few final words on this same subject when we return with the one and only Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. And remember, the website is Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com. We shall return.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next
next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. That's 800-349-6855.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. And I guess Dr. Deborah So, on the very end of this report, Selwyn, comes back and makes a final statement there, right, that was pretty important.
Right, right. Yeah, let's just sum up, Chuck. Most people who have gender identity disorder or autogynephilia do suffer in silence, okay? So the people who are driving this MUS agenda are not only a small percentage of the overall population, they're a small percentage of the people who have these problems. But in the name of indulging their perversion, what they're doing, Chuck, is they're helping create an environment in which kids are damaged, sometimes permanently, and it's disgusting. And as So put it, she said, quote, "I'm willing to bet that the majority of those denying autogynephilia exists not only know that it exists, but experience it themselves." Bingo, she's right. Then she said, quote, "I sincerely hope they will one day heal this inner turmoil instead of channeling it at the rest of the world." Absolutely. Now, the only thing is, though, is I can,
I was going to say, do you know which doctor you want to go to? Do you go to your regular medical doctor if you really want to talk to it, or do you go about the problem that you know you have but you don't want to have it, or do you go to a psychiatrist, or do I give them your home number?
Well, you go to a head shrinker, I guess. The problem is so many of them are left-wing and they're facilitating this agenda. That's part of the problem. But anyway, as I conclude in my article, what So says is true. Unfortunately, it's too much to hope for that these activists are just going to change their tune. They're not, because these are damaged people, Chuck, who are enthralled to their dark passions. What is more realistic is having a society that discourages perversion. And you know what? Shame on the larger society for not doing that. And why don't they do it? It's all in the name of value signaling and social acceptance. Not acceptable. That's what you call a sin of omission. No.
And getting more acceptable under this new administration, you know, that's pushing it.
Absolutely.
And shame on them for doing it, you know, I think. But, of course, there's a lot of people that disagree with us, Selwyn, so that's a first.
One or two, right?
Yeah, right. Only one or two. Hey, about 3 minutes before we have to get into our final break, and we have this is a new one that Selwyn, you actually wrote this for the John Birch Society, right? It's a very interesting report. It's a world without the West, and I got to tell you, listener, they can go to your website and get this whole thing, right?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, SelwynDuke.com, a world without the West. You say, while it becomes fashionable to find fault with the Western civilization, a world without the West would not be a pleasant place for anyone accustomed to peace, prosperity, and personal liberty. So we are kind of important, I guess, a little bit, huh?
Absolutely, Chuck. And right now this is the cover story in the New American magazine. Consequently, it is long. It's an essay. It's not a short article. But I think this is a very, very good defense, and not really a defense of the West. I'm going to tell you later what it is. It's something more than that. But, you know, Chuck, I don't have to tell anyone, it's not news that the West has been under assault for a long time. The West is impugned six ways to Sunday. We're supposed to hang our heads in shame over all of the sins of our past. And what I point out is that that's pure and utter nonsense. But let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about with this impugning of the West. I mean, there was this recent YouGov poll, Chuck, for instance, that found that 42% of young Britons believe we should, quote, teach students that Britain was founded on racism and remains structurally racist today. Okay? Now, that's so ridiculous because The UK is Britain's origination, dates back to a time when there was only one race there, and people didn't even have our modern conception of race. Okay, but here's another example. Recently, there was this president of FIFA, that's the soccer world body, Gianni Infantino is his name. This was on the eve of the World Cup, and he was asked, Chuck, at a news conference about the human rights record of the event's host country, Qatar, which I know people want to call Qatar today. Sounds silly to me. But anyway, he got very defensive, and he hissed, "What we Europeans have been doing for the last 3,000 years, we should be apologizing for the next 3,000 years before starting to give moral lessons." Okay,
right.
Now, as
so,
I...
And yeah. Here's the break coming up, so I, that yep. way I'll let you do it real nice and clean, see, and we'll be back in just a moment with Selwyn Duke. And we're going to talk about the new American Magazine column he wrote, A World Without the West. And yours truly, Chucky, is going to try not to interrupt too frequently, because when it gets on a roll, I get on a roll listening, see? Okay? And it's SelwynDuke.com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Hugh Jackman plays a high-powered businessman who's thrilled with his new baby and new wife, played by Vanessa Kirby, when his first spouse, Laura Dern, asks him to take in their emotionally scarred teenage son in the searing and unforgettable The Son, now playing in theaters.
What's going on?
I don't know what's happening to me.
You came to tell me what a good dad you are. What do you want? Applause?
It's my little boy. I can't give up on it.
Based on a stage play by director co-writer Florian Zeller, this is part of a trilogy that includes The Father, which won an Oscar for Anthony Hopkins, who makes a brief appearance here. In this film, all of the acting is award-worthy. All the characters, despite their conflicts, are richly and sympathetically portrayed in a superb film that captures both the rewards and heartbreak of family life. It's rated PG-13, 4 stars for The Son, one of the best films of 2020. So far.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international,
International is to call SmartFares first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American. Also, just posted the New American magazine, A World Without the West. So when we last left you, we were guitar. Go ahead, Selwyn.
Yeah, so I just mentioned that statement made by that soccer head. Gianni Infantino, he made that infantile comment. He was defending Qatar, a Muslim country, and saying that Europeans should apologize for the last 3,000 years of their history. Now, I pointed out that the irony of that comment, Chuck, is that for about 20% of the last 3,000 years, the West was under assault by the Islamic world. That was known as the Islamic expansion period. And the West was struggling for survival back then. In fact, the Muslim forces were within 125 miles of Paris, where Charles Martel turned them back at the Battle of Tours. But anyway, you know what the Europeans had been doing for close to 100% of that 3,000 years, Chuck? Well, they were creating the greatest civilization that the world had ever known, one that would literally transform our planet. Now, this is very important to understand because Joe Biden, along with other Western leaders, just recently agreed to offering climate reparations, what they call climate reparations. And this idea came out of the 2015 Paris Accord. Now, it may not happen because the Republican Congress may block it. But the whole idea, Chuck, is that the West is responsible for damaging the developing world. That's the allegation. Because supposedly we've spewed all the CO2 into the air, and also for other reasons we've damaged the third world.
Global warming.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, as I put it in my article, well, is this really true, or is it just a bit like fuming at God when you get a headache because he gave you a head? Okay. Now, the way I put it in this article is I'm not mounting a defense of Western civilization because that sounds defensive. Rather, what we should do, Chuck, is mount an offense for Western civilization because, like I said, it's the greatest civilization ever known. There's nothing to be apologetic about, okay? The only thing we should be upset about today is the fact that we're spreading sexual devolutionary propaganda. But that's not a function of the Western tradition. That's a function of our rebellion, the rebellion by certain people within our borders who hate our culture against the Western tradition. But anyway, what about these climate reparations claims? Well, what you have to realize is that they're nonsense. And look at it this way. Pakistan is one of the countries leading the charge for them because they want this money. And they say, well, we've had these floods, and these floods are caused by climate change, and the West is responsible for that. But actually, the truth is this. We in the West here, as Daniel Hannan, the ex-British, Member of Parliament, put it, we have been undergoing reforestation now for a very, very long time, whereas in Pakistan, they have been suffering deforestation, okay? While when they got independent, a third of their landmass was forest, Chuck, now only 1/20 is, okay? And that's the reason why they have these floods. It has nothing to do with anything the West has done. In fact, what they need to do is take a lead from the West because, as I've pointed out before, we have more forested area in our country now than we did 100 years ago. Our air and water are cleaner than they were 60 years ago. The same is true in London, the air and water are purer than in Lahore, Pakistan. Why? Because of Western endeavor. And I'm going to explain this, and I've talked about this before. There are two prerequisites for a healthy environment. One is freedom, and the other one is prosperity. Now, why? Well, freedom in the sense of being able to choose your leaders and hold them accountable is important, because if you don't have that, what inevitably happens is that the leaders, and they end up being bad people in autocratic societies, destroy the environment. We saw that in the Soviet Union. We're seeing that in China today. Saddam Hussein did that in Iraq, draining and poisoning the swamps there over and over again, okay? Now, why do you need prosperity? Why is that a prerequisite for a healthy environment? Well, for the simple reason, an old Chinese saying pertains to this, when there's food on the table, there are many problems. When there's no food on the table, there's only one problem. When people are suffering privation, Chuck, when they don't have shoes on their feet and they're worried about where the next meal is coming from, they're not concerned about killing the last white rhino or clear-cutting the rainforest. They just want to survive. Whether we like it or not, environmentalism is a luxury of people with wealth. Okay? So the truth is that if we want the third world to become more environmentally stable, what we need to do is help them become more like the West. They need to emulate us, not put us down. Okay? Now, let's move on to the next fallacy, the next anti-Western fallacy. And that's the idea that we owe our wealth to the exploitation of others, the exploitation of the third world. Well, that's just pure and utter nonsense, because the truth is that you don't really get rich through conquest. It tends to be very, very expensive. And a good example of this is China. China has become wealthy in recent decades, but through trade, because it has wealthy trading partners in the United States and the European Union. If we weren't around to buy its goods, it wouldn't be wealthy.
Right.
Okay? So it really is true that a rising tide, Chuck, lifts all boats except the leaky ones. I added that to it.
I like that.
And that means that if people don't develop themselves, they don't educate themselves, if they don't make themselves marketable, then in essence they're leaky boats and the rising tide is not going to help them. But otherwise, it does lift all boats. Okay, now associated with this, the idea that the West has exploited the world, of course, is colonization. And we're demonized for that. Well, you colonized the third world. But the truth is, Chuck, there is no correlation whatsoever between having been a colony and poverty. Walter Williams, the late economics professor, talked about this. He wrote, quote, in 2011, "It turns out that countries like the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand were colonies, yet they're among the world's richest countries. Hong Kong was a colony of Great Britain until 1997, when China regained sovereignty, but it managed to become the second richest political jurisdiction in the Far East. On the other hand, Ethiopia, Liberia, Tibet, and Nepal were never colonies, or were so for only a few years, and they rank among the world's poorest and most backward countries." Okay? The truth is, like I said, Chuck, there's no correlation between colonization and poverty. Now, that doesn't mean colonization is necessarily a good thing. It's driven by avarice and adventurism in general. We know that. But the truth is, Chuck, if you want to put it in perspective, is that most every country was a colony at one time. I mean, if you look at what we consider colonizer extraordinaire, Great Britain, understand that it was a colony of the Romans, okay, in 43 AD. And when our European ancestors, Chuck, were colonized, maybe by the Romans, they had the same complaints the third worlders might have had in more recent times. Well, these people have come here, they've dominated us, they're trampling our culture and our traditions. But at the end of the day, what really was the result? Well, one, whether you were talking about our ancient European ancestors, Chuck, or 19th century third worlders, and by the way, the term third worlder didn't exist back then, but those people, okay, well, they weren't enjoying what we understand as freedom. They weren't voting. They were ruled by chieftains or clan leaders. So the truth is that when they were colonized, and again, I'm including our ancient European ancestors in this, they just had different masters in many cases. And again, this is not to rubber stamp colonization. It's only to put things in perspective. Before we're going to lament the past, we have to count a situation's blessings, not just its curses. Okay? Now, what were the benefits of colonization? Well, okay, if we go back to ancient times, Rome introduced technology, culture, a system of law, and most significantly, Chuck, Christianity, which completely transformed Europe. Okay? Then the Europeans would later do the exact same thing, okay, in the Third World. And because of this, the Third World would finally have representative government. Okay? So that is the thread of civilization. That's how it spread. And understand that contrary to the noble savage narrative, which is pure and utter nonsense, okay, really primitive cultures were across the board brutal places. I mean, here you can look at what Steven Pinker has written, and he's not a conservative by any stretch of the imagination, but in his book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined, he pointed out, Chuck, that all Stone Age societies, okay, societies without wheels, minimal tools, without stable habitation, had the same characteristics, okay? They form tribes that engage in constant warfare with surrounding tribes. That's what they do, okay? And this is very, very brutal warfare. What would they do? Well, they would kill the men. They would kill the older boys. They would kidnap the women and the girls, okay? And so these areas were, these places were rife with brutality, okay? This would often include human sacrifice, would often include, Chuck, cannibalism, okay? And it was the West that finally ended this savagery. And by the way,
West never got involved in cannibalism and things like that, did we? We got close
to killing
a lot of
people,
but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if you go back to our ancient European ancestors, I mean in pre-Christian times, some of them were doing these things too. I mean, it's something we were all guilty of, but these things ended so far back in the West that no one even remembers them. That's the point. But then again, it's the threat of civilization. It's the spread of civilization. Westerners ended this savagery in colonial lands, colonized lands. I mean, a good example was forbidding India's sati, or widow burning. Okay? Now, Thomas Sowell talked about this phenomenon. He's another economics professor. And what he pointed out in his 1998 book, Conquests and Cultures in International History, is that colonization actually benefited the Third World. And he wrote, quote, where technologically or organizationally more advanced people have conquered a people lagging behind in these respects, as with Western colonization, I add, then conquest, like migration, has been a way of spreading the existing human capital of mankind and promoting the development of more human capital among more peoples. Okay? Now, but not all conquest is created equal. I mean, if you're talking about colonizers who were less economically or intellectually developed, I'm quoting him again, than those they conquer, and that was a common situation for centuries, during which ancient civilizations in the Middle East were prey to mounted nomadic warriors from the steppes of Central Asia, then conquest has not promoted the spread of human capital, but instead has destroyed much of it where it existed and prevented civilization from spreading to militarily vulnerable areas. Okay, that's what he wrote. Now, in other words, to sum up, if, Chuck, you had to pick colonizers, well, Westerners were the best this fallen world had to offer. That's the truth. Okay?
Yep.
Now, let's say a few more things about colonization, because a lot of people say, well, the West did this and they got rich. That's not true, okay? Overall, Sowell points this out too, overall, Britain received less than 7% of its imports from Africa, less than from any other continent, including thinly populated Australia. He also writes that in his book, Conquests and Cultures, okay? He continues, nor were African colonies usually important sources of profit to European investors or of revenue to European governments. German colonies, for example, in the years leading up to World War I, consistently absorbed expenditures greatly exceeding the revenues raised within the colonies, with taxpayers in Germany having to make up the difference. Okay, and then Sowell further explained, Chuck, that while there were various special interests that did encourage colonization, quote, Officials responsible for the public treasury were often opposed, viewing the matter in terms of financial costs and gains. In special cases, such as the Congo or South Africa, with their valuable mineral resources, the conquest might repay its costs. But these were exceptions rather than the rule. Okay, so the bottom line is, Chuck, colonization tended to be expensive. And by the way, that's ultimately a major reason why it ended, why France, why Britain had to relinquish their colonies. It wasn't just that you had independence movements in the middle part of the 20th century. It was that it was very, very expensive. After World War II, Britain was the third poorest country in Europe because it took such a hit during that conflict. And these nations could no longer afford to sustain their colonies. That's the bottom line.
You know, and and I wanted to make sure you got in a very important part here about the very Western invention, the computer. Talk about, you know, how far we were ahead, right? Back to the 19th century, 1930s, 40s, the modern era of digital computers would begin in the United States, Germany, and Britain, with a personal computer coming a few decades later, a revolution whose impact is perhaps still not fully understood. And boy, do I relate to that, you know, so many days when I get on my computer, I'm telling you. And we got about 40 seconds before we have to take that final break. And I got to make sure, let me see here, I think I marked it here. Oh, yes, on my next page, and how can a person perfectly live up to an ideal anyway? Guess what? There is a G.K. Chesterton quote. And, boy, if you are familiar with Selwyn Duke, that might be your most important human being that has ever walked on Earth, right, G.K. Chesterton?
Yeah, well, next to Jesus, right? But absolutely. Yep, I quote him there.
You quote him a lot, yes, sir. Hey, I want to remind you again that we are talking about this New American Magazine article that Selwyn Duke compiled, and it is entitled A World Without of the West. And they can read it if they go to your website, right? SelwynDuke.com?
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com. And we're going to continue, and we'll have that Chesterton quote there and anything else that's on Selwyn's mind when we return.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
You experiencing pain? Back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain? Pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
Let's talk about your credit cards.
When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and discussing a world without the West. So take it away, Selwyn. Yes, here we go.
Yeah. Absolutely. The truth is we were discussing the case against the West, Chuck, and I pointed out that we don't have to defend Western civilization. We should take the offense, because the truth is we have nothing to be ashamed of, everything to be proud of. And the point is that all the so-called sins of our past are the sins of all of mankind. But if you look at the Western triumphs in those cases, in many of them, those triumphs are uniquely the West's own, okay? I mean, for instance, the West, Chuck, might not have been the first entity to practice slavery, but it was the first to end it. The West might not have been the first civilization, Chuck, to violate what we call human rights, but it was the civilization that created a whole modern concept of human rights in the first place. So if you're going to condemn the West on these bases, which is fashionable today, well, that misses the forest for the trees, because you can only level that criticism within the context of the universe of thought the West itself created, okay? As I put it in my article, it's a bit like having a man who defined ideal golf technique and then eviscerating him for his own less than ideal exhibition of it, okay? So how can you sum this up? Well, G.K. Chesterton put it well. You can't live up to any ideal perfectly. People will say, well, we didn't live up to the Western ideal or the American ideal. Well, as Chesterton put it, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. And you could say the same thing about the Western ideal. Insofar as an ideal really is ideal, as in perfect, how could you live up to it? You're only a human being. So what's the revelation here, that the West comprises human beings who are imperfect? That's not a rap against the West, and we shouldn't tolerate these criticisms for a second, because the truth is we brought prosperity to the world, modernity to the world, representative government to it, our modern concept of human rights. We have civilized the whole world. And that doesn't mean that we didn't get things from others. Yeah, we did, of course. I mean, our number system, for instance. But that's what happens in civilization. Two heads are better than one. People come up with various things. Then if you're wise, you take the best from each group and you amalgamate them into something superior. And that's what the West did, along with originating much of its own, inventing countless things, okay? So the truth is, if we're going to go back to climate reparations, as I put it, reparations are fine, Chuck, as long as the West also gets royalties for its countless triumphs in every aspect of human endeavor, okay? Don't be defensive. Be aggressive and offensive. We only have things to be proud of in the West, and the whole world has to become Western if we want to solve its problems.
So glad you said that. You know, be proud of what we have. But, you know, you did say sort of what is it called, a trigger word there, trigger words, when you said two heads are better than one. Boy, you got to be careful because, you know, the way they're doing crazy things to themselves now, right?
Yeah.
We could have a problem. Houston, we have a problem, and it's Selwyn Duke's fault. Yes, sir. Hey, Selwyn, thank you very much. Look forward to our visit. Have a good weekend. And remember, listener, it's Selwyn Duke. S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Swade, and thank you for listening. And God bless the United States of America.